a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, hello, hello. And welcome once again to the Dr. Kevin Show. And here on the third Thursday of the month, as always, we are turning our heads to the stars. We're going to see what's going on with those pesky stars here on our planetary influences. And when we say planetary influences, we're going to tell you what's happening in the skies and the energies that are around, but we're not telling you what to do. You want to find somebody to tell you what to do? Get married. We just tell you what the energies are and how to make the most of them, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. If you want to be part of the conversation today, you can do so by calling in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. You can ask us questions about what's going on in the stars, what's going on in the skies, what's going on, whatever. You can call and ask as long as the question is respectful. Now, as always, when we have a planetary influences, our influencer for a planetary movement, ha ha ha, you're an influencer now. Did you hear that, Rob? Is Rob Stewart from innercenter.org. He is our planetary influencer. He goes up there and he tells Saturn what to do. He gives Venus what for. And he gives Mars a wide berth. You know, what can we say? It is Mars after all. So he's going to be pointing out what's going on, telling us what it means. And then you can take that information and you can make better decisions. Rob, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on, Dr. Kevin. It's always fun to chat about the astrological weather, as it were, each month with you. It's always a great way to sort of look at the month ahead. So, I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, always. And, you know, I want to remind our listeners, if you don't have your astrology chart done or you haven't had it done for a while, you can't find it, you don't really remember what all that is about, reach out to Rob at innercenter.org, get an update, find out about your progress, your solar, maybe get your natal done. If you don't have it anymore, you can't find it. And then you can be calling in once a month. You can be listening to what's going on. And it's going to make more sense to you. So, you know, it's a better tool if you understand what's going on in the toolbox. Right, Rob?
Right on, right on. And I do want to say, I do have a new website called innercenterastrology.com. And you can go there for those interested in a more detailed birth chart reading or transit reading, synastry or composite, whatever it is. Check out innercenterastrology.com.
Oh, so now you're going to make me remember a different... I've been saying innercenter.org for what, 2 years now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now you want me to remember something new. Yeah, that ain't
happen. Yep, just got to switch it up, you know? You just got to switch it up.
So it's now innercenterastrology.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you may have to remind me a couple of times, but
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Now, just out of curiosity, if they go to innercenter.org, will they be, will it bounce over? Is it still active or are they going to get vacant, nobody home?
Innercenter.org is vacant right now online. It'll be back up sometime, hopefully shortly, but for the time being, Innercenter Astrology is the best way to get in touch for the astrology stuff.
Okay, well, if you want to touch Rob, I don't think that came out right. Or then again, I have a lot of Scorpion energy. Maybe it did. So anyways, so we just had big old mean bad Saturn go retrograde. I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit about that today, aren't we?
Yeah, yep, that's one of the things.
Okay.
Yep.
So, but I'm going to let you start as you always start, and let's see what's going on.
Yeah, well, let's see. So Saturn, that's right. So Saturn went retrograde on June 3rd. So it's been a, you know, it's at least a week ago or so. What's today? The 16th. So nearing 2 weeks ago. You know, when Saturn goes retrograde, you know, Saturn is the great disciplinarian, really. It's helping us focus in on life and the three-dimensionality. You know, it'd be wonderful if life was just about flying around and being totally light and detached from everything. But it's not. You know, we have these physical bodies, there's responsibilities, there's requirements for being mature and being productive in various ways. And Saturn is this sort of great disciplinarian in one way of speaking. And it's just helping us all be a bit more realistic in our life and have to, you know, nose to the grindstone type of thing. And when it goes retrograde, like it did on June 3rd, which happens every year, but it's a time where it's sort of reassessing where do I need to bring more responsibility in my life? Where am I taking too much responsibility? It's sort of reviewing, reevaluating the data, the responsibilities we have. Are we being responsible enough, mature enough? How's my production? It's a time to sort of relook at all that stuff and reassess and make those corrections so that you can, you know, we all have struggle in our life. And if we don't learn from the struggle, then the struggle is likely going to show up again in some way. So this is a time to, like, you know, learn from the struggles we have in our daily lives and to make those adjustments so that we, you know, continue that human evolution that we're all on in our life. Go ahead, Dr. Kevin. Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. So where is Saturn retrograde in?
It's in Aquarius. And, you know, the big things for Aquarius, you know, there's a few big ones, but there's something about giving oneself, being detached enough to see things objectively. That's a really big Aquarian theme, is being detached and being objective with your information, with things in life. And so with Saturn retrograde in Aquarius, there's the opportunities to take a step back, become more objective. It's also about, you know, plans for the future and how to go about working towards those plans by connecting with like-minded people. Aquarius, you know, these are some of the big topics that could come up during this period of time. Did any of those resonate with you, Dr. Kevin, with what's going on?
Well, you know, my next question is always going to be, before I weigh in on that commentary, is that, you know, when I look at this Saturn in Aquarius, and is it going to go back to Pisces, or is it going to stay? Wait a second.
Yeah. Let's see. I mean, no, it's going to stay in Aquarius, and then let's see, at around 18 degrees of Aquarius, it's going to go direct.
Okay.
And then it'll march right through and eventually get into Pisces in March of 2023. So, but we got a long way until then, as Saturn's moving through Aquarius, which, you know, Saturn moving through Aquarius, there is this sort of pressure to some of the challenges with Aquarius is being yourself despite social pressure. The need for, like, humanitarian causes, you know, helping shift society in a big way and making changes for the future. And with Saturn in there, it's as if we're always, you know, feeling the pressure of reforming society. So that's a really big theme that could be coming up for a lot of people.
So here is, and again, I want the audience to hear how I'm asking these questions, because this is how you learn to start to apply it. So I look at my chart. Aquarius is retrograde, all of the things it could be involved in. And that review of structure and settling things up. But it's in my third house. So when I say that, if anybody else has Aquarius in their third house, not only is it going to do that, but it's going to have more of a focus point in areas to do with the third house. So what would you tell me of even the next level of what I should be looking for with that Aquarius being retrograde in my third house?
Right, with Saturn there. I mean,
Saturn. This, yeah.
Right. You know, the third house is, it's really about exploring our surroundings. But often it comes up in terms of communication, reading, writing, teaching. And so this might, you know, as with Saturn retrograde in your third, there might be opportunities to reflect, look at, you know, how productive are you with your writing, with your teaching, with your even communication, day-to-day communication types of things. This is a great time to sort of revisit, relook at your productivity in those areas of life, your, you know, different, like, you know, those difficult conversations that show up in life. Are you bringing your most mature self to those conversations? These are sort of Saturn's asking us to level up in a lot of ways. And this is a time to revisit that with regards to your teaching, communication, and information gathering, that type of stuff.
Well, I look at this and so again, I want you, the listener, to say, oh, if I knew what house Aquarius was in, what house Aquarius was ruling, and I knew that Saturn was in their retrograde, it's going to give me some information where I can pay more attention. I might realize or even choose to move in a certain direction that in some ways would support that area going on. And so the interesting thing is that I started a new book before Saturn went retrograde, and I am in huge throes of writing it. And so I'm up to my eyeballs in every free minute trying to write this new book. And I have been working on re-examining the structure. I had a clear vision when I started, and the vision hasn't got cloudy, but it's growing. And for any of you people out there that do any kind of fiction-based writing, because this is a fiction, this is one of my fiction books, I don't know if any of my writers in the audience have this experience, and I don't know if you've ever tried to write fiction before or not, but sometimes your characters say the darndest things, and you go, where did that come from? And so I find it changing. And I find, because of the nature of the book, that there is that Saturnian energy in me kind of changing the structure, really getting clear on the message I want to be giving out. So you can move on now. But yes, there's my response. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, restructuring your book, I mean, that's like, that'd be a perfect third house Saturn retrograde in Aquarius, nonetheless. You know, it's, I'm sure with restructuring those things and reworking those things, you have to remain objective, Aquarius, detached in some way to make the plot lines, every, you know, the characters weave in and out, and, you know, requires some level of, distancing self from, you know, to see the bigger picture. So it's really amazing how these themes show up that the astrology points to in our lives, you know. And you know, the thing about these sort of astrological forecasts, I guess you'd say, is, you know, a planet's moving through this sign and this house, it's easier to align with the natural flow of life. Because, you know, just like swimming down a river, it's a lot easier to go with the current rather than try to swim upstream when you're just going to exhaust yourself. So with astrology, you can see areas of life that you can really focus on and get the most out of the period of time. And that would be one of these regarding your book and everything going on.
Well, what's interesting, because I haven't always done this in the past when I've written fiction, but I have it going on multiple devices. So I'm actually working on one part of the book on my iPhone. I'm working on a different part of the book on my iPad. I'm working on a third different part of the book on my Mac. And I'm bouncing back and forth in the different places in the book, which means different ages in the people's lives, different years, things are happening, all of that stuff. And yeah, that's not normal that I would be quite that. So I just think it's interesting. I think it's also a commentary on the Saturn.
But right on. Yeah, and even Aquarius, it rules technology. You know, these multiple devices, you know, that's sort of interesting wrinkle to everything you're moving through right now with it. Cool. So, and I know we have a commercial break here coming up, but we are about to have the summer solstice on June 21st. And, you know, that's the point at which the sun is the furthest north in the northern hemisphere. And it's the
music is coming in. We're going to pick it up with the summer solstice. We'll be right back with Rob Stewart from innercenterastrology.com. That's innercenterastrology.com.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. This week is the week of planetary influences, where we bring in our Dr. Kevin Show astrologer, Rob Stewart. You can find Rob at innercenterastrology.com. That's inner, I-N-N-E-R, like your innards. No, innercenterastrology.com. If you'd like to find out more on a one-on-one basis about your own astrology. So Rob, we kind of got a little bit cut off, so why don't you pick it up at summer solstice?
Yes. Thanks, Dr. Kevin. So yeah, June 21st is the summer solstice. It's, it's the longest day of the year. And it's the point at which the sun is its furthest distance north in the northern hemisphere. And it marks the beginning of the summer season and the beginning of the Cancer season as well, as the sun moves through the constellation, the backdrop constellation of Cancer. So Cancer, of course, Dr. Kevin, your son is in Cancer. You know Cancer well. Cancer is considered, the crab. The crab is a wonderful archetype for the sign of Cancer. And when the sun is moving through a zodiac sign, it sort of sheds light or shines a light inner life in these areas. And it's a time where these themes become more of a focus, and there's great opportunity to pour yourself into those areas of life and be a bit more, creative and shine your light in these areas and learn more about yourself. With the sun, it's really shining light on areas of life that which we can really benefit from. So the archetype of the crab, the meat of the crab is so tender and sensitive and juicy. And if a crab didn't have a shell, it would be a quick snack for a lot of these different predators. And so the sign of Cancer, this deep emotional sensitivity with Cancer, deep, emotional intelligence. But there is that sensitivity with the emotional aspect of life. And because of the sensitivity, there needs to be boundaries. There needs to be protective layers so that sensitivity can be unintruded upon. So the crab is really a wonderful archetype for the sign of Cancer because of that exact reason. And crabs need to shed shells. Shells can become too tight, and that's when you need more space and more room to give yourself more room, more emotional freedom. So the sign of Cancer really is about having that shell that's needed to protect, and that inner sensitivity that we all have. Of course, you don't want a shell that's too thick. But you also want a shell that's too thin. And also the sort of inherent wisdom of letting go of old shells and taking up new ones that are larger and more, give you more space to grow and to be comfortable. It reminds me of, when we grow up, we wear shoes and our feet are growing, and it gets to the point where the shoe becomes a bit too tight for the feet. You need to get new shoes because it's just, squeezing the feet too much. And I think we all feel that. I certainly do in my life when I just notice, the added stress or added pressure in life. It's meaning that somehow the shell that I'm living in is a bit too tight. And there's a requirement to sort of expand one's space, whether that's, expanding, opening one's mind to larger aspects and seeing things from a new perspective. But really it's about shedding these shells and creating new ones that give us more space to breathe and to nourish ourselves. And so, when the sun is moving through the sign of Cancer, there's a real focus on...
And like
on...
you pointed out, my son is in Cancer. So, I'm a Cancerian. I'm a Cancer aficionado, so to speak. And there's a couple of, I travel, through the years off and on, I've traveled a lot, a lot at points. And of course, people think, Cancer the crab is all about home. But the reality of it is, it's you bring your home with you. The crab travels with it. And I always would say, I can go anywhere, and in the first 10 or 15 minutes, as soon as I've unpacked, as soon as I've created a space that then feels like home. And, you know, I've stayed in, you know, when I was doing a lot of traveling years and years ago, decades ago, traveling around the country full time, I could go in and be given an oversized, you know, walk-in closet as the place where I was going to sleep. And I could still turn it into some little feeling where everybody would go that if they stepped one foot in it, they'd be like, it just, it feels good here. Like, it feel like, you know, I think that's important, you know, that I just wanted to kind of put that out there, that that's one of the things I find that people don't always get about cancers is we travel with our home, and wherever cancer is in your chart is a place where you tend to create a home, even if it's in your house of business or it's your house of partnerships. Or it's your house of hopes, wishes, and humanitarian efforts. I mean, there is still a home energy you bring that as long as it's not poorly aspected, as long as you haven't got the crabby, then there's just always this feeling of nurturing and being taken care of in that space. Does that make sense, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, you're right. You know, the sign of Cancer, there's something about creating belonging, creating home, creating that emotional nourishment that is so important for in life, you know, to have a place, to have a nest, to have a place for inner sanctuary where you can allow yourself to process deeper emotions. You know, you can't process emotional material when you're out and about and, you know, out and about in the world and all that stuff. Like, you need some type of sanctuary, a place to rest, relax. And oftentimes, you know, sign of Cancer is related to family or home, like you said. And it's really, you know, just nourishing that deeper emotional self. And, you know, clearly you have a knack for being able to create such space, Cancer Sun. And, you know, over the next month, we're all sort of, this is a theme that's relevant for all of us. What does it mean to belong? What is home? How do you connect with family? You know, these are all these sort of Cancer themes that, take the spotlight here. And I do want to mention, you know, one of the shadow aspects of Cancer is the idea of trampling on it, being so focused on one's own emotional life that and trampling on the emotional life of others. That's one of the pitfalls of the sign of Cancer. And so, you know, I know I've done such things in my life, and it's time for us all to be a bit mindful about the possibility for that type of thing as we move through this month.
Well, let me tell you, a crabby crab can get very snappy. And those claws, those little cancer, those little crab claws, they can launch right on you and draw blood. Or that might be some of my scorpion nature. I'm not sure. So go ahead.
Right, right. And, you know, the other thing about a crab, and I'm sure we talked about this, you know, last year, and whenever there's cancer aspects and things in the sky, is that, you know, the crab walks side to side. And you know, that's very, you know, it's not confrontational. It's sort of wanting to avoid confrontation because it's nurturing, you know, nurturing that soft, deeper emotional processing is so important. Cancer is not known for its confrontational energy, but it more sort of dodging and weaving and just sort of, indirect approach to taking action. So, you know, related to that, so I just want to say, as this June 21st, as the sun enters Cancer, Venus is making a few aspects. So Venus will be squaring Saturn on June 18th. That's just in a couple days. And then on June 21st, Venus trines Pluto. And so, you know, Venus always brings up themes related to relationship, what you consider beautiful in your life, you know, the sort of elegance and harmony, balance. But really it's really a focus on relationship and also your own value system and what you value and, sort of
attract towards yourself. And with Venus squaring Saturn here in the next few days, it's as if, you know, Venus's desires, there's desires with Venus, that, you know, the desire for affection and for love. These desires can be held in check by Saturn in some way, like the rationality of Saturn, the is this productive? Is this concrete? Is this mature and realistic and responsible? So over the next few days and over this next week, there can be these themes in relationship related to, you know, the need for maturity, realism, overcoming any roadblocks, and leveling up in areas of relationship. And as Venus trines Pluto, there's this great transformational force in relationship to help shed and release anything that comes up in these ways. Does that make sense, Dr. Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. How long will that Pluto-Venus aspect be in play?
Yeah, let's see. So let me just take a look here.
I'll tell you why after.
Right. So let's see. Right. So Venus is going to be exactly square with Saturn on Saturday, June 18th. And, you know, given it's just say a 5-degree orb, it's out of that on Thursday next week, but it's within a trine with Pluto. And so I'd say the whole transit will be, Venus's transit will be over by Monday, June 27th. So, you know, over this next week or so, it's going to be a bit over a week of these sort of themes.
You mean the week where my husband and I are traveling on planes, staying in hotels, and on vacation, sort of vacation together. Great. What did I ever do to you?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's the type of theme. It's just, you know, it's opportunities for leveling up and bringing your best self and working. And, you know, with Venus trining Pluto, it's very powerful, very passionate, very intimate as well. So it's sort of this mixed bag of this sort of deeper transformation, working through any roadblocks and opportunities to level up in those ways.
You know, I'm just giving you a hard time. But you know, we literally get back on the 27th. I'm like, okay, so this is the trip of Venus aspects. Yay.
That's right.
So what else is going on there, Mr.
Timing.
Rob?
Perfect timing. All right. Well, so Venus will be entering Gemini on June 23rd. That's midway through your trip or towards the tail end of the trip. You know, Gemini is about, you know, lightheartedness and, sharing, you know, communication, good conversation, curiosity, and, you know, just interesting conversation. So this is a great time over the next month or so while Venus is, transiting Gemini to listening to other points of view. It's great for social interaction, connecting with, you know, friends. And it's just a great time for elevating and having sort of stimulating conversation in various ways. Also great for writing and journaling and that type of stuff too. So I don't know if you plan on bringing your work with you on your trip, Dr. Kevin, but there could be opportunities, you know, for writing with that type of energy.
So the answer to that is yes. Because anywhere I bring any of my devices, and I'm bringing all of my devices, I will have my writing with me in that lovely Saturn and Aquarius way. So those will all be there. And interestingly enough, because my husband is Gemini, that could really work out. And you know, we're going to be, at a place where there it's a convention and there are workshops and there are things going on. So there's going to be a lot of social stuff going on, a lot of discussion of ideas. You know, this is got Unitarian Universalist General Assembly written all over it. It's going to be the perfect energy to be hearing people present lots of different ideas and have lots of different discussions. So there you go. I guess you're forgiven.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, things are always at the perfect time. I always believe that. And this is a perfect time for that. And it's great. It sounds like it's going to be an awesome trip. I know we're coming up to the commercial break here. This might be a good time to break, or we can keep going. What do you think, Dr. Kevin? I don't know.
And I guess that decision was made. The radio gods were listening. We'll be right back on the Dr. Kevin Show, and we're going to hear what the rest of the astrology is into the third week of July with Rob Stewart from InnerCenterAstrology.com.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show here on OM Times, here on our week of planetary influences, guided by the astrologer extraordinaire Rob Stewart from InnerCenterAstrology.com. So, Rob, what else is cooking in the skies?
Yeah, so we have a new moon in the sign of Cancer on June 29th. And that's at 7 degrees Cancer. New moons are when, of course, the sun and the moon are in the same location in the sky, and they mark a new beginning, new cycle, related to the themes in which the sun is in at that time. And that of course, is the sign of Cancer, which, as we've been talking about today, it's about home, about inner emotional life, creating belonging, creating emotional safety, nesting, and really bringing people together. There's a real energy of bringing people together. And so there's a new cycle that begins within those themes on June 29th. It's at 7 degrees Cancer, and 7 degrees is the degree of Libra. So this new moon will also, from my perspective, will have a relational theme as well. And this new moon will be squaring Jupiter, and Jupiter will be in Aries. That's sort of the major aspect that the new moon makes. And so with a square from Jupiter to the new moon, part of this new theme related to creating a sense of belonging and emotional safety is related to, you know, how do you respond when belief systems are, there's friction between belief systems? Jupiter oftentimes represents our worldview or a belief system, how each person gathers optimism in life and according to their the view that they see, you know, the worldview. And with Jupiter and Aries squaring the new moon, you know, there will be some, you know, of course, within family, the sign of Cancer, there can be various viewpoints and philosophies that clash at some point. And this is a great opportunity to find new ways of navigating those energies. Squares in astrology are really just asking us to learn how to work with different energies, different, what do you do when two energies sort of create friction? Well, you learn from it and you get to learn to navigate through trial and error, how to work with those types of seemingly different energies. And in this case, it can be related to these different philosophies, maybe within family, related to your emotional life, that type of stuff. These are some of the themes to kind of work with over this next cycle. The next cycle will last for the next month, but also for the next 6 months until the full moon, the next full moon in Cancer.
Well, you know, one of the things I would invite here, because I always look at the square as no matter what's going on the outside, the real struggle is going on within you around it.
Right on, yeah.
And so, to me, you said it earlier, that part of the shoe getting too tight is when we haven't quite moved up to the next shoe level, and so we're still in a shoe that's just gotten a little too small. It gets very irritating. We have a hard time moving forward. But I kind of grabbed your analogy and brushed it out a little. What do you expect? Yeah, and yeah. But what I want to say here is that this is the invitation for that Cancerian part of you. Wherever Cancer is in your chart is going to be the area where this will be most focused. It won't be limited to, but it will be most focused. But looking at that, it is also this invitation to say, okay, Cancer, this is a time to shed some of that shell so you can grow a new one. You need to get rid of the old shell, and you will be soft shell for a little bit as you're transitioning into the new hard shell. And so that Cancer of vulnerability is what people are going to want to be aware of. In my kind of language, doesn't bite them, you know?
Right.
Because here they are, that new moon is going to say, in some area, it's time to emotionally grow up and expand in ways that are going to be uncomfortable because it's a square.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
That's right. Absolutely. And, in the... there's many types of squares, and be squares with many different planetary bodies. Jupiter is one that's a bit less, is oftentimes less challenging than other types of squares. But it does come down to oftentimes different belief systems and things when there's a square with Jupiter. This is a great time to be focused on those things and to find new ways, through trial and error. I think life is about trial and error and figuring out how to navigate seemingly different energies.
Lean into the vulnerability, Cancers, wherever your Cancerian energy is playing out. Lean into that vulnerability and know that you will move past it, through it, and you'll get your hard shell back again. But you're going to have to lean through the vulnerability in a way that's just about expansion. So, right. And you can be comfortable with what is being brought to you without deciding it has to become yours. Some of this can be about an expansion where you just have to be supportive of other people's view of it. You don't necessarily have to change your view of it, but you have to be open to changing your view of it. Does that make sense when I say it that way, Rob?
Right. No, absolutely. Without being open to other possibilities of seeing something, that we'll never see anything a different way. So we first have to be open to the possibility of it seeing something in a differently. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. What else is going on in these skies?
Yeah. I mean, so I do want to say, related to that new moon, and you know, this sort of emotional, work that you're talking about, Neptune is turning retrograde on June 28th. And that's about the same time this new moon is occurring. And retrograde Neptune is really about, you know, revisiting areas in life where we may have been looking through rose-colored glasses. Neptune is, shows up in so many different ways. It's really about this transcension from this, transcending normal mundane life and connection with the spiritual realms. But it's also very illusionary at times. When Neptune's involved, sometimes we see what we want to see instead of the entirety of reality itself. And so when Neptune goes retrograde, like it will on June 28th, we have opportunities to relook at areas in life where maybe we were seeing things through rose-colored glasses or being lost in sort of a dream world. And have an opportunity to sort of ground ourselves a bit more and see things more clearly, so that we continuously refine our connection with spirit and with the higher realm, so to speak, by seeing through the things, the rose-colored glasses that we wear at times. That's relevant with this new cycle, this new moon cycle with Cancer and family and the stuff we've been talking about.
Well, because that Neptune is going through my fourth house of home. I'm going to get a double whammy.
Well, I mean, the thing with Neptune is it brings this wonderful dreaminess to wherever it is in the chart, wherever Neptune is transiting. And so it also brings the potential for seeing things rather rosily when it's like, well, there could be a more realistic way of seeing things. So Neptune in the fourth house, you know, home life can be very, a place where you could escape to escape the difficulties of life and really connect with the higher realms through home, through family. Right now, Venus or Neptune transiting your fourth.
And the other thing which I always like to put out there, that is the aspect of Neptune that I think that gets overlooked, is, you know, Neptune gives you this invitation of, if you can let go of the illusion, if you can let go of the dream that actual. In like either who you are or where you are in your life or whatever, but if you can let go of that and fully open yourself up, Neptune can show you the way to a bigger and better dream.
Right.
And so I look at that and say, well, in my fourth house, I've got all sorts of ideas. I'm always doing work on my house. I'm always doing work on my garden. So I'm always doing work like I want to redo the kitchen. I want to redo this. I've already done this. I'm going to do that. But I look at it that, like, it, again, just using my chart, and you guys have to apply it to your charts. But I'm probably going to look and go, okay, I've really got to get realistic about how much I can do and when I can do it. And maybe I need to let go of some things that I was attached to. And if I do that, I will allow for a different, better vision to take its place. So to me, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to again, a better dream. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, everything that we've ever seen, everything that exists in this world, someone had to come up with a thought of it first, you know, and had to have the vision, like you say. And Neptune is something that expands our vision, expands our horizons and what could be. And it's sort of a necessary and wonderful aspect of creation. You have to dream it first. And why not dream big, you know? Right on. Let's see. So moving on from the full moon, we have the new moon that we just talked about. There's the full moon in Capricorn on July 13th. And full moons are the culmination of a cycle. The cycle has been over the past 6 months. And full moons are a time of fruition and letting go of what's not working. The harvest, the full moon harvest is when you take essentially the harvest the crops and let go of the stuff that's not working, but hanging on to the stuff that bears fruit. And so a full moon in Capricorn is, you know, where in life are you productive? Where in life are you, where's the work not paying off in life? Where are you bringing maturity, Capricorn? Where are you building structure? You know, hang on to, keep working on that which is bringing structure, and maybe let go of things, old projects, old things that aren't really bearing fruit or not bringing something into the world. So this is a great time, middle of July, to let go of things that are no longer bearing fruit in a way. Let's see, the aspects of the full moon. Moon will be conjunct Pluto, so there is a sort of deeper emotional component to this thing. The subconscious with Pluto and the moon will be in play. And we'll also have Neptune square Venus. So there could be some of these Neptunian themes that are being brought a bit more into reality. I think this full moon in Capricorn in the middle of July is really about seeing beyond the veil, creating more structure, and let go of projects that really aren't bearing the fruit that you would like to see. Does that make sense? Do you have anything to add with that, Dr. Kevin?
I'm going to hold back because I know we're almost out of time, and I don't know if there's any other aspects you need to get in.
Yeah, no, that was pretty much it. This would be the last one to chat about today.
Okay. I know sometimes Chatty Cathy here can suddenly go, oh, we've got 90 seconds and 5 aspects less to go.
Right. Yeah.
So the one thing I'd invite the listener to do is, as you're looking at what's coming to that fruition in the Capricorn, is go back to that where that new moon Capricorn was in January. Look at the dates of that new moon. Look at what was going on. What were you planning? What were you plotting? What were your dreams? What were you putting in place? Again, knowing when the new moon was in January, which is easy enough to find out, Google it, and to help you hone in on what is that time. And, you know, we have some watery stuff going on. Neptune and the moon, stuff like that, and sometimes the when we have some of these planets that are getting more active, like the moon and Neptune, sometimes our clarity is a little bit more challenging. Would you say that's true, Rob?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Sure.
So, with that, I'm going to say, go back, look. See, what were you planning? What was going on? Like, what were you trying to put in place? And again, knowing where Capricorn is in your chart is going to help you know that the area of your life you can kind of zoom in on that you were putting those things in place for. And so, again, you know, this is the longer view of astrology which is why people who understand it or work with it, or if you talk to somebody, you know, like a qualified person, a qualified astrologer who really knows what they're doing, like our Rob Stewart from innercenterastrology.com, then you can get layers and layers of insight and information that can help you, you know, kind of make a change and do it and really capitalize on this stuff. I mean, I look at that new moon that was back in January. It was happening in my second house, my house of money and finances and things. And let me tell you, when this full moon comes, I'm going to have gone back in my calendar and looked and said, what were the things were up? What were the things I was thinking of putting in place? What were the things that I was kind of moving around or getting started? And so, again, I think that's very important. And Rob, we'll talk to you in a month.
That sounds good, Dr. Kevin. Thanks for having me on. It's always fun chatting about this stuff. Have a great month, everybody.
As always.